I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh Lord, how we raise the heavenly anthems in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering, gathering in, was life's door, and free from sin, I will shout, and I will sing, we'll sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, the city, oh, the city will be roll, when the redeemed are gathering, oh, when the redeemed are gathering, when they are gathering in, washed like snow, and free from sin, I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices, oh, when the redeemed are gathering, we gather in. When the angels all will listen, for they cannot join, when the redeemed are gathering, oh, when the redeemed are gathering, when they gathered in, was like snow, and free from sin, I will shout, and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. When the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board, when the are gathering in. And with his invitation, come he blessed. Hallelujah! Oh, when the redeemed are gathering, when we gather in, when the redeemed are gathering in, wash like snow, and free from sin, they will shout, and we'll sing, when the redeemed are gathering in.
Hallelujah.
Strong message or a light message?
Strong. Let thy will be done.
Because we have almost like a Sunday message today, if that would be okay. There's something which really was something, wasn't really a Wednesday, it was more like a Sunday message. So let's get straight into it
by the grace of God. Let's open Matthew 24. Yeah. Matthew 24, thanks, bro. Verse 3 up to verse 5. Matthew 24. This is when they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So what is going to be one of the sign of the end of the age? That's what it really is. not really the end of the world, because the world will continue through the millennium, but it's the end of the world order. So there are going to be certain things take place at the end of the age, and that's where we're living. And look how Jesus answered straight away the major sign. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So many will come and deceive many. And that's a sign of the end time. That's how the prophet preached the message, the anointed ones at the end time. It's an end time sign that the many will come to deceive many. So I just want to take that thought, let no man deceive you. That's what Jesus says, let no man deceive you. Let's also read Mark 13, just to see how Jesus says it again in the book of Mark. Mark 13, 22 and 23. Jesus says, for false Christs, so false anointed ones, and false prophets, we know New Testament preaches a prophet, false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, the same as Eve, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. Let's read the final one, Luke 21, which is Jesus speaking about the end time once again. Luke 21, verse 8. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. I am the anointed one. Like the Messiah, I am the one. If you want to be there, you got to follow me. I am the only way. So they'll say, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Jesus told us, go ye not therefore after them. That's the key. Let's bow. It's Father, we thank you once again for your word. Praying that you'd grant us grace this night. We do pray. Thank you for Sister Lydia getting there safe. May you bless her. Sister Natisa, we pray for her upon this night as well. We pray for all your people that haven't managed to make it, Lord. Watch over your people upon this night. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, saints. I just want to take this thought, let no man deceive you. Because this is one of the real, real end time signs. When Jesus said, let no man deceive you, that word deceive is a very interesting word. That word means to cause, to go astray from safety, or from truth, or from virtue. So know that God fortifies his people behind his word. That there's a place of safety, that God has fortified his people. And Satan never wants to leave the people of God there. He always wants to try to cause people to go astray from the place of safety, from truth. And Jesus says, many will come to seduce you. So it's a seductive thing. It's a seducing of people. It also means to wander or to go out of the way. Remember the prophet says, all the church is called to do is to stay on course. That's it, just to continue to stay on course. Called out by the pillar of fire, called out of Egypt, called out under the ministry of the prophet. They were just had one commission, that was stay on course. Follow that message, follow that leadership of the pillar of fire. It was going to bring them into the promised land. They had just one thing to do, was to stay on course. So the devil obviously had one thing to do, was to get them off course, by seducing them to get off course. Now, I just really want to say it at the beginning, that there's only one voice that God ordained to keep the bride on course. And that's Malachi 4. That's Brother Branham. There's no other voice that was ordained to keep the bride on course. And the real proof of that is the vision of the bride. When the prophet saw the bride coming past, and then he saw the end time church led by a witch, and then he saw the bride come past the second time. And as the bride started to go up in the rapture message, he says, I noticed one of them, two, three of them getting out of line. And I screamed, stay in line. And the vision left me. And I was standing in the room screaming, stay in line, like that. So who was it in the vision who had the voice that if the bride starts getting out of line, which voice brings the bride back in line? It's only the prophet's voice. It's the message of the hour. No other man is ordained, even if the bride gets off course. No one else is ordained to bring anything to try to bring the bride back on course. There's only one thing ordained of God to keep the bride on course, and that is the voice of the seventh angel. That is Malachi 4. Any other voice is the voice of the enemy, no matter what it may be. That's a seductive voice. That's the voice to keep us in line. Now we see this brother who's risen up at the moment, deceiving some of the people that left us, calling himself the Midnight Cry. You know, that's taken away from the message, because the Midnight Cry is the message of the hour. You know, Sister Dube was told that, you know, we're the children of the evening light, but they the Midnight Cry. You know, that things have moved from the evening time to the midnight. Friends, that's a great error. That's a great error. The prophet told us in the rapture, he says, the first thing when he comes descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? A message to get the people together. That's paragraph 141. He says, now the message, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. And the verse that speaks about the midnight cry, Matthew 25 verse 6, the next voice says, rise and trim your lamps. So the midnight cry is the message of the hour. It's the message of the seventh angel coming to tell people to trim their lamps, and for somebody else to try to take that scripture and put themselves there. That's the voice of the enemy. That's the voice of Antichrist, because it's not speaking according to the word. It's not speaking according to the vindicated voice. It's not speaking according to the message of the Exodus prophet who was commissioned to keep the bride in line. So the midnight cry is the message of the hour. So we, as the genuine believers in the message of the hour, we are the children of the midnight cry. Just as much as we are the children of the evening light. It's the same message. It's just different types and shadows and parables that fulfills the same thing. There's no other person ordained to come and bring a midnight cry. The midnight cry has already gone forth. And that's the message of the hour. And that's the message which comes to tell us, rise up. Trim your lamps, the bridegroom cometh. There's no other message apart from that. And there's no other messenger. We're not expecting any other messenger. We're not expecting any other prophet to rise up on the scene. You're breaking every pattern of scripture by doing that. Listen to what the prophet says in the Church Age book, page 328. We know it well, but just to remind ourselves, when these deceptive spirits are going around, when you see the spirit of Antichrist, trapping believers that used to sit with us, baptizing in the name of some sinful man, burning the message books. Friends, that's Antichrist. That's absolutely the manifestation of Antichrist. There's no other word we can give to it. That is absolutely Antichrist. That is the spirit of Balaam. That is the spirit of Dathan, Abraham, and Korah. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And we'll see the sad thing about where that spirit leads people. It's a sad thing. But the prophet says in the Church Age book, page 328, he says, before we close the section on the messenger of the Laodicean age, we must seriously consider these two thoughts. Firstly, this age will have one prophet messenger. Amen. So when these people rise up and want to twist the prophet's quotes to try to say the prophet says there's coming another prophet, that's twisting the truth. The prophet never said those things. They use a quote to Brother Ram and says, one of these days there's going to be a mighty prophet rise on the scene. But go and see where Brother Ram's preaching it. He's preaching it to the Pentecostal church. He's not preaching it to message believers. And the prophet would always do that. He was a humble man. He'd never say himself, I am the mighty prophet that's to come on the scene. The prophet would go to the people who didn't know the message. And would tell them, don't you know Malachi 4 has to take place? Don't you know another mighty prophet is going to have to rise on the scene? And then you find people now in our age wanting to take and twist the prophet's words and say, I'm the fulfillment of that. The prophet says, a mighty prophet's going to come. I'm that mighty prophet. Jesus says, go ye not after them. Because those are the signs of the end time, friend. No matter how anointed they may be, no matter what signs and wonders they may do, Jesus warned us, that's the end time sign. False Christs, false anointed ones, and false prophets, ministers, anointed, inspired ministers, will rise up and deceive many. And there'll be many of them rise up. You know, Brother Maxwell's been in the message way back. I've been in the message since 85. I've seen so many of these things rise up. So many rise up. And like it says in the book of Acts, When they asked Paul, are you not one of these ones who rose up like that man who rose up and took people into the wilderness? It just leads people into the wilderness and leaves them to perish in the wilderness because it's not the voice of God, it's the voice of the enemy. So the prophet says, he says, this age will have one prophet messenger. Revelations 10:7 says, when he, singular, shall begin to sound. It's not when they shall begin to sound that Brother Branham's going to come and then somebody has to come after him to finish the work. The Bible says when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be complete. So for someone else to say something, they're speaking contrary to the word. And the Bible says if they speak contrary to the law and the prophets, the light is not in them. The prophet says, and this is all in capital letters in your church age book. It says, I deny upon the infallible evidence of the word that there's more than one major prophet messenger. He says, thus saith the Lord, by his unfailing word which stands and shall stand, there is one prophet messenger to this age. Amen. Friends, you get so surprised to find people that claim to be believers and they go running after another prophet, an eighth messenger and all these kind of things. It's pitiful, friends. It's a pitiful situation to find like that because God is completed in threes. It's always in threes. Malachi 4, there's three. It says, I, God, send unto you the bride. Malachi, Elijah the prophet. There's three. It's always three. It's always God and his prophet and his bride. That's the completion in the end time. There's no room for anybody else inside of there. In Revelations 10, it's the mighty angel. Is one eye, that's God. Then there's Revelations 10, verse 7, the seventh angel, which is the prophet. And then there's John, who's the bride. There's nobody else in those scriptures that's going to be able to fit in. Every place you look in the scripture, you'll find God is always completed in three. He sends his messenger, then he's got his bride, and there's God who's the king of them all. It's always like that. When somebody wants to try to break that pattern, they're trying to fit a fourth person in there somewhere. You're not going to find that fitting in the word anywhere. Because you're going to find it was the pillar of fire came down and vindicated Elijah. And then Elijah, now he anointed Elisha. And Abraham says that's a type of the prophet and the bride. And all these things the prophet says. He says there was the captain of the host of the Lord. There was Joshua type in the end time messenger. There was Caleb type in the end time believer. It's always in a three. There's no room in the divine vision for anybody else in this vision, friends. For anyone else in this end time. But where the problem comes in is the vulnerability. If people's souls haven't really been sealed, if people haven't gone really deep enough and really come to the new birth, look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Peter speaks about these kinds of people rising up in his day. 2 Peter 2, verse 14. He says, having eyes full of adultery, because the spirit of spiritual fornication and the spirit of natural fornication, they go together. You normally find almost every time somebody is a false prophet of the message, he ends up in sexual sin as well. Almost every single time. Because that spirit of seduction is the same. Whether to seduce somebody else's wife spiritually or to seduce somebody else's wife in the natural, it's the same spirit upon a person. That's why they normally end up falling in those kind of sins. He says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. It's like Eve, she was beguiled. Now that he's using the same word, he says, these ones come on the scene and they beguile unstable souls. They can't beguile the elect. They can't beguile that seed of the elect, but they beguile unstable souls. It says, an heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. My! The Bible didn't mince its words. It calls them cursed children, those ones that rise up like that. Peter says, these are cursed children, children of the curse, verse 15, which have forsaken the right way. So they knew the right way. They were in the right way, then they forsook it. And are gone astray, following the way of Balaam. And we know the story of Balaam. Balaam was a genuine anointed prophet, but he seduced the children of Israel to come away from the worship of one God under the pillar of fire to come and worship other gods. And God never forgave them for it. God never forgave them at Baal Peor. God called and Moses got in the spirit and says, slay everyone that has joined himself to Baal Peor. Now for someone to come and seduce you away from genuine worship under the message of the hour, and you forsake that way and you go and worship an idol or an image of something else, you're putting yourself in extreme trouble with God. You're putting your soul in mortal danger. It's very, very serious situation when you know the truth and you forsake that way. Imagine you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go and get yourself rebaptized in the name of some sinful man, born of a woman. Is that not a pity? You know what you've done? You've cut yourself off from salvation. You've cut yourself off from the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's salvation in no other name. There's salvation nowhere else. It's like you're cutting yourself off from the very flow of redemption, and you're going and baptizing yourself in the name of a man. How can people do that? You know, I've been trying for 2 days to try to understand, how can someone get that low? I can understand people falling in sin. We all have our bad times. But to be beguiled to that extent that someone will take you from the message of the hour, take you right out of the message of the hour, I'm going to baptize you in his own name. I don't understand that, friends. That is a great spirit of delusion upon people. That's a very serious spirit of deception. That's the spirit that's upon Balaam, is upon those same people. Those messengers, when they raise up, they are going the way of Balaam, doing exactly the same thing, seducing the Exodus people away from the genuine mercy seat and bringing them to another form of worship, to worship idols. I don't think there's anything more serious you can do in the eyes of God than to stumble people from genuine worship under the message of the hour and seduce them and lead them now to this false worship. Like that, an image of worship, not the real worship. It's a serious thing to do. Look what it says in the prophet says in the message, and knoweth it not. He says, just watch. Stay close to Christ. He says, let me warn you now as a minister of the gospel of this. Don't take any foolishness. And friends, what those people are doing, it's foolishness. And all of these eighth messengers, it's foolishness in the eyes of God. The prophet called it foolishness. We don't want to get involved in foolishness, friends. We can make our mistakes, but it's foolishness according to the prophet. The prophet says, don't take any foolishness. Don't imagine anything. But stay right there until this inside of the inside, the soul, is anchored to the word. How can your soul be anchored to the word and then you're going to be baptized in someone's name? It shows your soul was never anchored to the word. You never stayed there long enough until you were born again. You knew the message. You may have been anointed along the way. You may have drunk of the spiritual rock. You may have been baptized with Moses. But you never stayed there until your soul was anchored to the word, which is the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because how can someone have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then go and be baptized in the name of a man? How can someone have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and take the message of that and burn the message books? And you claim you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You may have been anointed before, but it never got to the soul. It never did anything to anchor that person's soul to the word. And friends, we don't want to be in that kind of a condition that we are beguiled. We're unstable souls who can be beguiled. I don't want to be in that condition. I want my soul to be anchored. We went through it in Zimbabwe under our pastor when he went astray. But we already had anchored our souls in the word. We anchored our souls in the message. And that's what kept us. When he was going astray, we would get out there in the woods and we would listen to the messages and study the message. Because we knew this. And then we came to the conclusion that the Jesus this man is preaching is not the Jesus of the message. He's preaching another Jesus, this man. And the moment someone's preaching another Jesus, you run away from that man as fast as you possibly can. No matter the great exploits he may have done in the past, but your soul is a precious thing. And you do want to risk your soul in these kind of times. And that's why the prophet says, you stay there until that inside of the inside is anchored to the word, that you are right in Christ. Because that's the only thing that's going to stand. Because we're in the most deceiving age that we ever lived in. It would deceive the very elect if possible, because they have anointing. You see the sign of the end time. What shall be the sign of the end of the age? Take heed that no man deceive you. That's going to be an end time sign. These men rising, I am Christ. I have the midnight cry. If you want to be in the rapture, you've got to follow me. And they'll have great gifts and they can raise the dead and have great manifestations. But friends, if they don't speak according to the message of the hour, it's antichrist. It's absolutely antichrist. If they speak contrary to the word, they the sons of Balaam. That's what they are. They're anointed. They can see visions and lots of things. But it's their teaching. It was their teaching that beguiled and seduced people away from the Exodus message to go and worship other gods. Friends, though I might make mistakes in life, I never want to be guilty of that. Amen. Ever since we started that, we've never allowed false doctrine here. We've always tried those false apostles and found them to be false. When people came here telling us the name of God is William Branham. We came and we said the name of God is not William Branham. You know, all those kind of things that go around. The prophet says there'll be many things come. Many things. He says, but you stay with the message that you've heard. You stay with that voice that is ordained to keep us in line right to the end. Anything else is the voice of the enemy, no matter how anointed it may be, no matter what it can manifest. It's an uncertain sound. That's what it is. The prophet says that. He says, stay there because they have an anointing. In Ephesians 4, verse 14, if you can put it, please, Brother Will. This is what we're supposed to be. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Paul is speaking of a believer, your soul being like a ship on the sea. And these winds of doctrine, one comes from this side and blows through the message. And if you've got an unstable soul, if you're not anchored to the word, you get blown with this. Somebody comes along and you follow him for a while. And then after a while, another wind comes and blows. And then that blows you this way and you follow it like that. That's what Paul's saying. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, when they lay in wait to deceive, to lead you astray from the truth, to lead you astray from being fortified behind the message of the hour, what God has vindicated in this day. But this is what's happening. This is what the message is supposed to produce in us, that we'd be no more children tossed to and fro. Then you find people leave here, they go and follow this here, and then after a while they leave that, say, no, we made a mistake, that was wrong. Now they go and follow something else again, friends. It's pitiful. That's not what it's supposed to be. Amen. No matter how tough things may get, even in here, you're supposed to stay on course. Amen. And God will set things right, because he who began the good work will finish that work. Same as inside of your life. You don't get blown by one wind this way and blown by the winds of doctrine that way. Doesn't make any sense. Because you end up, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. This is what ends up to your ship if you keep getting blown to and fro. Paul says, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. You end up making shipwreck of your faith in the end. Because you're blown here and you're blown there, then you're going to hit the rocks one of these days and you make shipwreck of your faith. And Paul would name the people, verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So there were ministers in the message. Friends, for someone to come and tell you to be baptized in his name, he's a blasphemer. That's blasphemy. To put any name ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ is blasphemy. For someone to tell us to be baptized in the name of Brother Bram, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. To try to take us to something like that, let's call it what it is. It's blasphemy. And in the early church, they put those people in the hands of the devil because they were being used of the devil. Right in the midst of the Exodus move, you had these vessels that would rise up anointed and gifted, but used of the devil. That's what they were blasphemers. He says, I've delivered them so they may not blaspheme. Look what he speaks of it in chapter 4 of the same book, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We know the scripture. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. The Spirit speaks very clearly that in the latter times, the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. The same seducing spirit that seduced Eve away from the message of those, the same seducing spirit that's upon these ministers, these vessels. And what has he called their teaching? And doctrines of devils. Where did they get their doctrine? These are doctrines of devils, friends. That's where they got their doctrine from. Not from the message. Not from the mighty angel. But these are doctrines of devils. This is what the prophet says in the message, enticing spirits. He says, now today, so many people, he says, this is Sunday school, I love it, look. So many people are listening to enticing spirits instead of taking the word of God. Spirits, they're in the world. They're demons. And they go out into places and get among men, ministers. They get among church members. They get amongst good people. And they cause them to come into an illusion. And they say things and do things and teach things and practice things that are contrary to the word of God. That's an enticing spirit. Anything that will make you do something contrary to the word of God, it's an enticing spirit. It's a seducing spirit. But it's a spirit and it feels good while you're doing it. It's like when you, if you go and fall in sin, if you give yourself over to the sins of the flesh, it feels good while you're doing it. When you go and give yourself over to pornography, you go and give yourself over to filthy conversation, you'll be anointed by something that's pleasant. It's a seducing spirit, but the fruit of it is death. It brings forth death. It promises you so much, but the harvest is a harvest of death every time. Every single time you'll reap death from those things. That's an enticing spirit. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. He's speaking about Eve having fallen. And he feared for the Corinthians in his day. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ, to take you away, like Brother David was saying it on the weekend. The next verse, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, this was the message of the hour, and ministers were coming to the Corinthians, and Paul was saying, I fear for you people, because when people come to you preaching another Jesus, you listen to them, preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached. The messenger never preached that Jesus. Friends, we follow the Jesus preached by Brother Branham. Any other Jesus, we don't want that Jesus. We want the Word Himself, the mighty angel, the covenant angel, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want any other Jesus, friends. But there's other Jesus. He says, or if you receive another spirit. So when those ministers come, you receive another spirit. And that's why they'll end up saying to you, we can't call you brother or sister anymore. Because they've received another spirit. They've received another spirit. They used to be able to greet you. They used to be able to be friendly with you. But when this influence comes, it's another spirit. It's not the spirit of the message. It's not the spirit of Christ, which is the spirit of the message of the hour. It's another spirit that they receive. He says, if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel. People in the message preaching another gospel. We've seen it for years, friends. You've seen it as well. They preach another gospel. They preach another Jesus. And they give people another spirit. And that's how they form their little group. And they're the only ones who are right. And if you're going to be in the rapture, you've got to follow them. And they can be so arrogant about it and so rude and those kind of things. And lack the sweet spirit of Christ that the prophet speaks about. The spirit of the Lamb. He says that. He says, you might well bear with them. What a great mistake that would be. Now these enticing spirits, they were right there in the Branham Tabernacle. When the prophet saw the vision that time of the black and yellow serpent. which was that enticing spirit coming to seduce people, to tell them, this man, William Branham, is Jesus. You know, you must baptize in his name. And Brother Branham says, I saw from Canada, somebody brought me something saying, William Branham is our Lord. And Brother Branham came in Revelation chapter 5, chapter 1, part 1, and he says, I'm giving up. I'm going off the field. He says, you've driven me off the field. He says, you're going to make me an antichrist. Anything that you put in place of the real Jesus is an antichrist. Whether it's a prophet, whether it's a holy man. In the book of Daniel, they made the image of Daniel and said to the people, bow down. And they refused to bow down. You can't bow down to the image of anything except for to Christ, who's the perfect image of God. And the prophet comes and he speaks about it, you know, in that message, Bruce Serpent. Now I'll take it from Acts of the Prophet, Brother Perry Green. He speaks of it in this chapter called Lifting Up a Man. It's about page 134. You can get it on William Branham's storehouse, the PDF. It's a very good little book. And he says, after Brother Branham preached Bruce Serpent, these people came to him and apologized, saying they would not mention it again. Remember, Brother Branham came back the next week and said, these brothers, they repented. But this is now 1966, 1967. Perry Green says, but, and this is the most amazing thing, they continue to do it to today. See what a seducing spirit it is. Even when the prophet came and lashed that thing, when the prophet came and blasted that thing, he saw in the vision that a little snake went into a small puddle of water representing a group of people. And friends, it's not in a small puddle of water now, it's in a great puddle of water around the message. People will put on garments showing Brother Ram's picture and all that sort of stuff. You've got to be careful, friends. You've got to be careful. There's only one image we should be trying to present. That's the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, this belief that Brother Branham was God is a powerful, pervading spirit which accounts for much of the opposition to this message. Yes. That's why we call us a cult. It's not us that's the cult. It's these people that go to worship, tell you must baptize in their name or baptize in Brother Branham. That's a cult. Yes. And we get associated with the cults in the message. Listen to what he says. Peregrine, I have experienced the influence of the Spirit, and I've been told accounts of other instances that I will relate here. It says a family who was strong in the belief that Brother Branham was God were traveling across the country and had stopped at a certain motel room in a certain city. He says, I'll call them Family X. Another family, who I'll name Family Y, came through the city and stopped by coincidence in the same motel in the same room. This Y family believed the truth. Brother Branham was a prophet. During the night, that family stayed in the room. Both the brother and his wife were awakened several times during the night. There was something that kept coming to them, like a revelation. You see, it comes like a revelation. It's something new. Oh, this is exciting, hey. Not just the plain old message. See, we get too used to the message. You want something new, like Eve. This will make you wise. This will open up your eyes. You'll become like God. It's the same spirit of seduction. But it came to them while they were sleeping, like a revelation, was waking them up. And the prophet says, Peregrine says, and it said to them, William Branham is God. They were greatly troubled in their spirits about this and disgusted with each other the next day. They told somebody else, who in turn relayed the story to Brother Branham, asking him about how this could be. Brother Branham, in the spirit, explained the strange happening. Here's what happened, he said. Brother X and his family stayed in that motel room the night before, and they have that spirit. And that spirit was still in that room, and that is what Brother Y and his wife heard. This proves that it's a spirit. It's a spirit, friends. It's a lingering influence. Imagine you fellowship around false doctrine in a certain place and you leave and those demons of false doctrine, of doctrines of devils are still there. Amen. And somebody else comes and then you wondered, why are you being disturbed in your thoughts by those kinds of things? It's a seductive spirit, friends. But it's a powerful spirit. It's not a small spirit. Imagine how much it dodged through the ministry of the prophet there when he struck that thing, but it survived even up to today in the message of the hour. He says, as further proof that this is a spirit, I recall Brother Branham's first visit to the Tucson Tabernacle November 21st, 1965. Brother Perry was the pastor. And Brother Bram asked him to preach. And so he says, that morning, as I brought my sermon, God, how great, that's what he called it. He says, I came to the scripture about the word being sharper than a two-edged sword and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And something spoke to me as I stood there in the pulpit. It said, a discerner of the thoughts? Brother Branham does that. There's God. Three times this was repeated to me. I resisted speaking it out. Hey, that's a powerful thing. The prophet was right there. Immediately after the service that morning, Brother Branham came down to a point directly in front of the pulpit and congratulated me on the message. Brother Roy Robeson came and congratulated me for my ordination, was standing as a witness when Brother Branham said, Brother Perry, do you remember in Psalm 22 when David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who was that? I said, that was Christ on the cross. You see what Brother Ram's doing? He's saying, look, that wasn't David speaking. That was Christ speaking through David. But that doesn't make David Christ. That just means the Spirit of Christ was in David. I answered readily. Then it dawned on me. Brother Branham, I said, you caught something in my spirit. Three times he answered. But Brother Branham, I said, David was a mouthpiece. You're a mouthpiece of God. Brother Perry, I have to say things in the first person. That's not me, it's him. Again, I said, Brother Branham, you're a prophet. You're a mouthpiece of God. His final answer to this subject left no doubt as to where he stood. And I'll record it here that there be no mistake. There was no uncertainty in his voice when he said, Brother Green, don't you ever forget, I'm a Kentuckian. I'm a Kentuckian. I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity like everybody else. God may have reserved me as his special messenger, as his vessel, but worship only goes to one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is a strong delusion, friends. It's a spirit and it comes to strike ministers. And if you're seeking something new, something enticing, you yield yourself to that revelation when it comes to you. And you're being led now by a seducing spirit. It's a serious thing, friends. We've seen it. Great ministers in this message. Great men that were used in mighty ways. And we see how it leads people. Let's get on to the final kind of point. Let's see where these seducing spirits lead people. Let's see what God really thinks about this. Numbers chapter 25. God doesn't seduce people, friends. God reveals himself. And God's spirit persuades people, but it's the devil, it's Lucifer. Right from the beginning, it's always been the seducing spirit. Numbers 25, let's look at Balaam. They've gone after the way of Balaam. Verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people, this was the Exodus people, the people that had been called out under the message of Moses. There was the tabernacle, there was the mercy seat. There was the pillar of fire. They'd been separated from the other nations. They'd come out under the pure message under Moses. And Satan wasn't going to leave them like that. He was going to try to seduce them. He was trying to move them away from that faith. And it says, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. Now it's becoming dangerous. It's not just committing whoredom, falling in spiritual, for a natural fornication. They're now being enticed, come and bow down to our gods. People being taken out of the message to bow down to another god, another image, something else to worship, to submit yourself to another spirit. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. Verse 3. And Israel joined himself to Baal Peor, that false god. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Friends, God didn't compromise with that one there. God says, everyone who bowed down to Baal Peor, off with the head. Every single one. God never forgave one of them, friends. Amen. Not one of them was forgiven. Amen. Everyone perished under the error of Balaam. And their souls were separated from God. That's how Paul says, God, or Peter says, God having called them out of Egypt, afterwards destroyed many of them in the wilderness. Because with many he was not well pleased. And it's these kinds of things, friends. We may look at it as a light thing sometimes. But in the eyes of God, this kindles the anger of God. For someone to be baptized in the name of some man, you're condemning your soul to hell. That's what you're doing. Unless you repent quickly. Because you're bowing down to an idol. You're giving yourself over to the worship of another image, not the message of the hour. Amen. The same is here, exactly. It was the same. It was the first Exodus, now we're in the third Exodus. It's the same thing. And verse 5, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye everyone his man that was joined unto Baal Peor. Moses judged the issue, and that to rid the camp of that spirit. It's not a light one, friends. And then you find Phinehas came and he took his javelin and he pierced those ones through. And God says, I'll give you an everlasting priesthood. God gave him an everlasting priesthood because of his zeal of not tolerating that sin at Baal Peor. Let's look at the golden calf. There was another one under the Exodus. Exodus 32. Now the people, imagine, they've come out, they've got the revelation, they know there's one God, they've seen the pillar of fire, they've seen the cloud. And then it comes now that Moses goes up in the mountain, the people say, what's happened to this man Moses? We don't need this man Moses. That's exactly the same as this man from Ivory Coast is doing. We don't need that Moses anymore, the Exodus prophet. Let's make another system. They're making a golden calf, friends. They may call it a church, it's a golden calf. It's a golden calf worship. All these eighth messengers, it's golden calf worship. It's not the worship under the message of the hour. It's not God's provided place. It's another system. It's another image which is being produced by seducing spirits. It's not thus saith the Lord. It's not the original vision. It's not the heavenly pattern. It's not in accordance with the voice of the angel which they were told. Pay heed unto him. But it came to make them make another image right in the message, right in the camp of Israel. These people got the spirit of the seducing spirit on them. Let's make ourselves a god. These be your gods that brought you out of Egypt. Verse 25, Exodus 32, 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked when he came back, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men who perished under that golden calf worship. And Levi now, though he had sinned before, Simeon and Levi, remember, instruments of cruelty, what they had done, and the sons of Jacob, and they had forsaken their inheritance because of that. God looked and said, Levi, because you've done it, you'll get the priesthood. God so respected that. But now Moses sees the people, what they've done. People have bowed down. The ringleaders have been put to death. But there's still people in the camp that have bowed down to this image. So Moses said it in verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin. And if the prophet was here today, he'd say, these people are sinning a great sin. Amen. It's a grievous sin, this one, friends. This isn't a small thing. This is a great sin in the eyes of God. You've sinned a great sin. Now will I go up unto the Lord peradventure. I shall make an atonement for you. That was the spirit of Christ. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, the people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold and have been baptized in the name of whatever the man's name is and have followed some other image of some eighth messenger. It's the same thing, friends. You've been led out of the genuine image of worship of the message and you've gone and worshipped another image. You've submitted yourself, given worship, given your time, given your effort to something that is not the message of the hour. Verse 32, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now's the scary part. Verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. This causes your name to be blotted out of the book. Amen. When you know the truth, when you come from the message, then you're going to be baptized in someone's name. You go and you worship under some calf, golden calf, worship outside of the message of the hour. You're endangering your soul. If you don't quickly repent, your name will be blotted out of the book. God says, those that have sinned against me, although Moses tried to make intercession, the Lord said, whosoever sinned against me, them, I will blot them out of my book. Hey. Now the prophet says it in Sardisian church age when he's speaking of names being blotted out of the book of life. He says, in order to further clarify this removal of names from the book of life, let's extend our thoughts to Israel in the days of Moses. And he reads this exact scripture about the golden calf. He says, it is more than evident. Having read the scripture, names have been and will be removed from the book of life. Ere time shall be no more. In this particular place, it was because of idolatry. People are worshiping idols, friends. Anything you put ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ is an idol. It's an idol. And in the days of ignorance, God winks at it. But when you know better, you're in trouble with God. When you've seen the genuine image, when you've known the truth, and then you forsake the way, you follow the way of Balaam like that, you're putting your soul in such a danger. Such a danger of having your name blotted out of the book of life. The prophet says it was because of idolatry. Even as when Dan and Ephraim lost their rights as tribes for worshipping the golden calves. Remember when you get to the book of Revelation, there's no Dan, there's no Ephraim there among the 12 tribes. And the prophet goes to show because they knew the message of the hour. They came out under the Exodus. Then they worshipped under another system. They made a golden calf. And they put it in Dan, and they put one in Bethel, and they said, these be your gods. And they thought God didn't notice. But when it came time now for God to number the tribes of Israel, God said, whosoever bows the knee down to an idol, I will blot their name from under heaven under that covenant. And their names weren't there. And God took Joseph and put him with Ephraim and Manasseh's sons, and God took Levi, the priesthood, and put him in there and made 12 again. Friends, this is a serious sin in the eyes of God. This one is a serious one. When I look at those saints, those are beguiled souls, unstable souls. They've been seduced by the same serpent that took Eve away from the tree of life. It's the same serpent in that man in Ivory Coast. It's the same serpent in all these eighth messengers and these ones who want to make their own brides within the bride. They're anointed by the same spirit, the spirit of the serpent, the spirit of Balaam, the son of Beor. They go in the way of Balaam, seducing people away from the simple message of the hour and bringing them to worship a golden calf, another image which they make in their own image, their own system of worship, their own revelation, their own teaching, their own foundation of doctrine. It's a serious thing, friends. And the prophet says names will be removed at the end of this age. And friends, I just want my soul to be anchored in the Word. I just want Christ to be my absolute. No one else. Christ is my absolute. The message of the hour. We believe the plain, simple message here. We don't want to add to it. You don't want to take away from it. You don't want any of these new things. No matter how exciting they may be, no matter how anointed they may be, no matter what gifts the people may have, no matter what manifestations they have, if they don't speak according to the message, it's the anointing of the serpent upon them. It's a seductive spirit upon those people. The Bible says deceiving and being deceived. They're being deceived themselves and they're deceiving other people while they're being deceived. Friends, we only have one chance at this. One chance. The prophet then goes on to say, all who worshiped the idols had their names removed from the book of life. And he says, if that happened to Israel, he says, so too, page 274, he says, so the majority of the Gentile church, listen to what he's going to do now. He's going to show, under the old covenant when they worshipped a physical image, a golden calf, Their names are removed. He's going to show that when the image of the beast comes in now, the World Council of Churches, for people to forsake the word and go and worship under that system, your name will be removed. So it's not just a physical idolatry. It's worshiping a spiritual image. Something which has been established contrary to God's image. You're going to worship that image. Listen to what he's going to tell us. He says, the majority of the Gentile church will also come into condemnation with the resultant removal of their names from the book of life by rejecting the word and thereby entering into the world ecumenical movement, which is the image erected to the beast. And people will just think, oh, we just don't need the word. It's too strict. Oh, we don't need this and that. And you leave it. And that seducing spirit, that same serpent that seduced Eve, seduces him, say, come into the system. Contrary to it. And you go and you take the mark in your forehead, you believe it. It's mark in your hand, you support it, the prophet said. You've taken on the mark and your name goes out of the book of life. And you'll think that you're worshiping God. And there'll be anointing there, there'll be mighty things take place. But your name has been blotted out of the book of life. Because you're not worshiping according to truth. He continues on. He says on page 272. Now listen what he says about whose names are blotted out of the book of life. Whose names were there and whose names would be blotted out. He says, now I'm sure that you have noticed that those whose names were in the book of life were a part of the religious order of that day. Centered around the true God and worship of him. So if you have been called to the worship of the true God and you're around where the true God is and the worship of him, that means your name's in the book of life. He says, like Judas, the problem is they don't go all the way. Judas was there associating with it. Judas was there, he knew. Listen how the prophet explains it. He says, see how Judas was chosen of God. He was instructed in truth by the Son of Man himself. He shared knowledge in the mysteries. He had a ministry of power granted unto him, and he healed the sick and cast out devils in Jesus' name. But when the showdown came, he sold out for gold and political power. He did not go up to Pentecost to receive the Holy Ghost. He was devoid of the Spirit. And friends, for someone to be baptized in the name of somebody else, you can never tell me that person received the Holy Ghost. That person is devoid of the Spirit. That's a beguiled, unstable soul. That person never went all the way to Pentecost. They stopped short. Because Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth. And how can the Holy Ghost in a person accept those kind of things? Though you may have come out, you might have associated in the worship of God, you may have been under the very system of God's worship, showing your name was in the book of life, you may have been chosen of God, you may have been called of God. You may have been given a ministry of power, cast out devils. But when you turn your back on the genuine message, friends, and go and worship something else, your name goes off the book. Like Judas. That's what Jesus says, don't rejoice because you cast out devils, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Remember that time there. The prophet says, make no mistake about it. A person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way through. Amen. That's it. You'll get off course, it'll pull you back in, stay in line. You'll go this side, stay in line. Trim your lamps. You know, God will keep on just moving you back into place again and moving you on. And the prophet says, that is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Judas failed. Multitudes fail right there. And when they fail to go on in that word, the message of the hour, their names are taken off the book of life. Friends, the whole day today I was thinking of that. I think people don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize the seriousness of these things. It's a seducing spirit. It's doctrines of devils, these things, but there's an anointing and there's something interesting. It's mysteries and it's more exciting than the normal plain message to them. Friends, I'm perfectly satisfied with the plain old message. We don't need any new thing. We haven't finished even one quarter of the messages in the way we should. Never. There's so much virtue and truth and stimulation of revelation and the oil and the wine, like Brother Max was saying at Sunday school the other day. There's so much stored in the message, but it's when we go like Eve looking for some new thing. That's when we find ourselves in trouble. And if we're not careful, unstable souls tossed to and fro, we make shipwreck of our faith. And in the end, we lose our souls in the end. Our names are blotted out. I'll finish with this quote from Trying to Do God a Service Without Being the Will of God, Doing God a Service, Jeffersonville. The prophet says, now I want to read you a scripture. I want you to read it with me. That's what he says. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 4. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. The prophet says, in closing, then he says, if you can put Deuteronomy 4, Brad, thanks. He says, and to this church, and to the people on tapes, that's to us, and people on the hookup across the other part of the nation, I want you to listen to this real close. Don't you fail. That's what he says. Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. He says, I'm going to get the first verse. This is Moses now. Listen to this prophet speak. He had been in the presence of God. He knew what he was talking about. Moses had been commissioned by the pillar of fire. He had been at the burning bush. The prophet had been commissioned by the pillar of fire. The angel came down in the cave. The prophet says he had been in the presence of God. He knew what he was talking about. Verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. The prophet says that types our millennium, he says here. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught of it. The prophet says, just say what it says. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. What happened in the message, and people were pulled out and their names were removed and they perished in their sins. He says, you've seen it. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave to the Lord your God. Verse 4. You go next one, brother Willie. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God. You are alive, every one of you. The prophet says, you are alive now and in the presence of God. Then he says, let's close now. Let's go to the 25th verse. He says, when you get home, you can read the rest. Then he gives the warning. He says, 25th verse, they're now going into the land. And when you shall beget children and children's children. So it's the second generation after the prophet went off the scene. And now we're 50 years. We now come into the second generation. When you beget children and children's children, what's going to happen in the message? And you have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves. The prophet says, that's what happened. And you shall make a graven image. Start making other things which the prophet never told you to make. Start worshipping in ways the prophet never said you should worship. Start introducing things from Egypt which shouldn't have been there. The prophet says something else. Or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him for anger, I call heavens and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land. Imagine the prophet reading the scripture just before he went, July 1965. This was Moses speaking to Israel, after he'd been vindicated by God by a pillar of fire, and he knew he was proved to be God's servant to lead them out. So say I in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you add one thing. Amen. Don't put your own ideas in it. You just say what is said on those tapes. Amen. You do exactly what the Lord God has commanded you. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Just believe it and walk humbly before the Lord your God, for we're nearing the going into the land. Don't take some new thing. They're flying everywhere. And there'll be more than that come, but don't take these new things, because the Lord your God has declared to you what is truth. Don't try to build upon anything else. Just stay humble before the Lord your God. Satan will do his best to get among you. Don't you let that happen. Some slick tongue fellow. These are slick tongue fellows that are doing these things, friends. Some slick tongue fellow might come along and try to take you away from it. You think you could talk Moses out of the presence of God? Where he had stood there and seen it? No, sir. So don't add to it or take it away. Keep it the way the Lord said. We don't want no denomination. We don't want no organizations. We don't want no malice. We don't want no strife. We want God. And He is the Word. So let's bow our heads. Ah, friends, that was a warning that He gave to us. Such a warning. But you know what you did in the message? We've done exactly the opposite. Because there's an anointing upon these people, friends. There's an anointing. It's the anointed ones at the end time. False Christ and false prophets shall come. Many of them to deceive many. And because they're anointed and they can do these great things, we quickly follow their slick tongue when they speak contrary to what the prophet said. Our friends, let's ever be faithful. Let's just be true. Let's just be a true witness of the plain old message. I'm quoting from the question's answer on the sixth seal. The prophet says, you just stay with the plain old message. That's what he says. We just want the plain old message. The way that it is, the way the prophet brought us. And may the Lord really help us. And friends, for these people that are doing these things, you better pray for them. Amen. We better pray for these people before they go too far, because they've put peril upon their souls. And if they keep pushing the way they're going, there's no hope. There's absolutely no hope for them, according to the word. Their names will be blotted out and God will be finished with them. And God, having brought them out of Egypt, God will destroy them in the wilderness. And I'm sure you don't want that, because I don't want that. Let's pray for them. Let's stand. Let no man deceive you. It's a spirit, friends. It's a very powerful, seducing spirit. Just ask Brother George to come. Let's sing one song here. Saints, we come to a time of prayer. Let's really pray for these people. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the other saints that aren't here tonight. And may the Lord help us. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. So just be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that you have heard. Hallelujah. Listen to His prophet. Amen. His message heed. You know the song. You know that one, bro?
I was thinking of the song.
Oh, good. These ones in these days of trial, so near the end. When Christ from glory doth now descend.
In these last days. So let's start to the chorus. So just
be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that you have heard. Listen to His prophet, His message. Walk in the light when His star turns clean. In these days of trials, so near the end, when Christ from glory doth now descend, men's hearts are failing and filled with fear. We know the end time is surely hear.
Oh,
so just be faithful. Still believe His word, believe His word. Stay with the message that you have heard. Listen to His prophet, His message. Walk in the light,
walk in the light.
His walk with me. In every church age, the star did shine to help God's people the truth to find. In this last church age, a star shines bright.
Hallelujah!
So friend, receive.
Oh, I receive it, Lord.
Walk in the light.
Oh,
so just be faithful. Believe His word. Stay with the message that you have,
oh, that you have heard.
Listen to His prophet, His message. Walk in the light when He started. So just be faithful, believe His word, stay with the message that you have,
or that you have heard.
Listen to His prophet, His message. Walk in the light.
Oh, the light
way. His dark of
me. Oh, so just.
So just be faithful. Believe His word.
Oh, believe His word.
Stay with the message that you have.
Oh, that you have heard.
Listen to His prophet, His message. Walk in the light.
Walk in the light.
The star of
me. Let's sing one more. Let's sing one more. We come to a time of prayer before the Lord.
Christ shall rise.
Why don't you sing that one? Let's sing that one. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening.
Nations are breaking.
Israel's awakening. Signs of the prophets foretold. The Gentile there's number. Horrors encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold.
Oh, hallelujah!
The day of the redemption. Jerusalem's restoring, her national life long dethroned. Today she is calling, the laterans are calling, return or disperse to your own.
Oh, hallelujah!
The day of redemption is
filled
with the spiritual life, strength and care. salvation is here. Oh, heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking what's meaning to be over skies. God's church is the power shaking this hour. The day of redemption is oh, hallelujah. The day of redemption is here. Let's not have failing for me. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps turn and fade. Wake up, your redemption is here. False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have. Oh, hallelujah, the day of redemption is
look up, let's call upon the name of the Lord. If you need to trim our lamps, if you need to get the oil burning bright once again, let's come unto Him. The message is here, it tells us, stay in line. Let's continue under the anointed voice, the voice of the seventh angel. Let's stay in line right to the end. Whenever we get out of course, friends, grace brings us back in line. And let's pray for these saints. The prophet said it's a spirit upon many good people. But let's pray the Lord might redeem them from that great delusion before they go too far and the names are blotted out of the book of life. Let's come to a time of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, upon this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can approach unto thee upon this night.
Father, we thank thee, Lord, Savior, Lord, for this message, Lord, Lord, that was given unto us, Lord. For we see, Lord, when men, Lord, would reject, Lord, Father, the message and the prophet, Lord, Savior, oh, how valuable, Lord, it is, Lord. Father, we ask your grace, Lord, Savior God. Keep us, Lord, keep, Lord, our families, Lord. Keep us, Lord, even upon that path of light, Lord, constantly, Lord, we ask for your grace, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
We come tonight before thy presence to thank you for the provision that you have made for us, Father.
Amen.
We were in denomination, we were indifferent of our religion, worshipping our ancestry and all these kind of things, Father.
Yes, Lord.
But you had made a provision for us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That at the evening time, the light shall shine, Father.
Amen.
And the light has shined, Father, and we have accepted, Father, not because of our own merit, because Amen. You have put something inside of us,
yes, Lord,
that will be able to line to the light of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for the message of the hour, Father.
Amen. Yes.
The message that shine light, that take us out of the confusion,
yes,
that
Lord,
take us out of everything, Father, doesn't sound of thee, Father,
Amen.
And has positioned us in Christ, Father, We thank you for a marvelous message like that, Hallelujah. Father. And this message of the hour, Father, has the Amen. Power to transform the life of the people, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we saw it in the time of the pastor, in the day of our youth, Father.
Hallelujah.
He has taken us from the music of the world. He has Amen. Transformed us, Father, from filthy things of this life, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for that, Father.
Amen.
And we ask you more deeper revelation of these
yes,
things,
Lord.
Father.
Hallelujah.
As we see our brethren going astray from
yes,
this
Lord.
Truth, Father. But we can ask you, Father, if they were used, Father,
Amen.
Bring them back to thy presence, Father, that
yes,
they will be
Lord.
Able to worship, Father,
Amen.
In the true way that you have established, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we know, as you warn us, that many false prophets shall arise,
yes,
Father.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And we know they come with flattery, with seducing spirit,
yes,
all
Lord.
Those evil manner, Father,
Amen.
With all those fake miracles,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
But you have shined light to us. You have given us something that is above a miracle, Father.
Hallelujah.
And the prophet tells us the great miracle is the life of someone that changed.
Hallelujah,
and
Lord.
A sinner believe the Lord Jesus Christ, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That's what we are looking for. Because Amen. If we get the healing of this body, Father,
oh, Lord.
This body finally will die one day, Father.
Amen.
Because this body wasn't predestinated for eternity, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we know we have a theophany somewhere, Father.
Yes.
That for that body that we are walking daily, Father.
Amen.
That the purpose of us coming to this place, Father,
Amen.
That we can line up with our theophany, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That we can be what you want us to be, Father. Help us, Father, to remain in this message, Father.
Please,
no matter what happened, no matter our trial, no matter, oh, Father, everything that can happen, the Bible says there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Misfortune, poverty, Father. There's nothing that can separate us from thy love, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because you died there, you shed your blood, Father.
Amen.
And we know that the salvation,
yes,
it's only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father.
Amen.
There's no other salvation, Father. There's no other name that was given, Father,
yes,
for
Lord.
Someone to be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
We
Amen.
Thank you, Father, because that name was found worthy, Father.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We know that it was the name of God, Father. And that name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, has a power, oh Father, that only things that the demon can tremble, Father.
Amen.
And Father, we claim those brethren, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we apply the blood of the
yes,
Lord,
Lord
Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Lord. Yes,
that
Lord,
the same
yes.
blood that was shed for them, Father.
Amen.
That the same blood that will take them out of confusion, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because they were not predestinated to be there, Father.
Amen.
We know these things are flying all around the
Amen.
World, Father. But we thank you. Because you have given us the ability
yes,
to
Lord.
Stay in the simplicity of the message of
oh,
the hour, Father.
Help us, Lord.
We need more the revelation of this message, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That this message should be made flesh inside of us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
When those wind
yes,
come, Father, we should not be blown out by
Amen.
Those kind of wind, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Let each of us find his position
Amen.
In the body of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Please,
Father.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
An experience with thee, Father, will change everything, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We know Moses has intellectual knowledge of things, Father.
Yes, Lord.
But that burning bush, Father, making him stable, Father.
Amen.
That burning bush, Father, making him to stand with thee at
Amen.
The last breath of his life,
yes,
Father.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes, Lord.
Give us the burning bush experience where it's needed, Father.
Amen.
That nobody should be able to depart from thee, Father.
Amen.
And we commend this church at thy
yes,
hand.
Lord.
You're the one who started this church,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
By the revelation of thy word, Father.
Yes,
that
Lord.
You have sent us to thy from to thy prophet, Father. And we have accepted that, Father. And this church is established under the ministry of the Malachi 4, Father.
Hallelujah.
And we point our eyes unto Calvary.
Yes.
Where the prophet pointed us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because from Calvary that comes the healing of the soul. And come the healing of the body, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we trust in this word, Father.
Amen.
And we ask you, Father, that the virtue went out of thy servant, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That has stood faithful, Father. That
Amen.
Has put himself aside to seek thy inspiration, Father.
Oh, Lord.
And to seek thy revelation, Father.
Yes,
and to give us this word of life that encourage us, Father.
Amen.
Because your scripture says, Father, the weak is a flesh, the body is a flesh, but your word, Father, is a spirit and give life, Father.
Amen.
And we ask you that the life that come through thy word, Father,
Amen.
That was ministered unto us tonight, Father, be able to lift up tonight, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That each soul, Father, that was in contact with those kind of the spirit, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Somehow it brings confusion, Father.
Amen.
And we believe tonight, Father, that the confusion is taken away, Father. Yeah,
hallelujah.
And your light has shined inside of our soul, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us, Father, as we depart from this place, Father. Father, let meditate to open this word, Father.
Please, Lord.
Let us go through this scripture of tonight, Father.
Amen.
And meditate to open them, and they will Amen. Equip us, Father.
Hallelujah.
When those kind of spirits come, Father,
Amen.
We will challenge them by thy spirit,
yes,
by
Lord.
Thy word, Father. Because you overcome everything by thy word, Father.
Yes,
and your word says we shall not worship any other man except the man Jesus Christ,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
And
yes,
we
Lord.
Stay on it, Father, and we stand in that, Father. We ask you, Father, that you shall fill every soul that is
Hallelujah.
Present in this place
yes, Lord.
With thy Holy Spirit.
Please, Lord.
As your presence yes, is here tonight, Father,
Amen,
we want to commit our request, Father,
yes,
because
Lord.
We know that when you come, something good happens, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Let something good happen to each of us
Please,
that
Lord.
Is present tonight, Father.
Amen.
Even those who are not able to make it, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Father, be with them.
Please, Lord.
You know the condition of their life, Father.
Amen.
Minister deeper to their heart, Father.
Please, Lord.
Father, bless this church, Father.
Amen.
And let us remain humble, Father,
yes.
in the way of the scripture, Father.
Yes,
and let the leading of the Holy Spirit, Father, take control of this place,
Please,
Father.
Lord.
That
yes.
nothing will move us from the truths that you have sent to us through thy prophet.
Yes, Lord.
Father, all those things, Father, we have a proof and we have known them that they are not of thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That why we still here and remaining with the message of the hour, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Because we know that in this message, Holy Father has the power of the transformation, Father.
Amen.
That will change this body, Father. That will bring us to the rapture.
Hallelujah.
Father, we're waiting for the rapture.
Yes.
We're waiting for thy second coming, Father.
Yes.
We know that you are not yet on earth, Father.
Amen.
You promised that you will take thy bride home, Father.
Amen.
For the wedding supper, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We're longing for that, Father.
Hallelujah.
We are waiting for the wedding supper, Father.
Amen.
If we have forsake everything from the world, Father, and we have accepted this message, Father,
yes, Lord.
Because we know that this message is more precious than the things of this world, Father.
Amen.
Father, give us power to live a Christian life,
Please,
Father.
Lord.
Father, forgive our trespass,
Please, Lord.
Our shortcoming, Father.
Hallelujah.
You know the desire of our heart
Amen.
Is a closer and a deeper walk with thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Grant to us that is our desire, Father. That each time of our life, Father, we
yes,
shall
Lord.
Walk with thee, Father.
Amen.
Father, bless us all, Father.
Amen.
We want to depart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
Father, bless in our road, Father.
Amen.
All the trick of the enemy, Father.
Yes, Lord.
All the spirit of accident, Father.
Amen.
Take them away from our yes, road,
Lord.
Father.
Amen.
Because the enemy, when he sees something like this is preached, Father, he will do his best to fight us.
Amen.
But you would tell us that the one who is in us is more than the one that is in the world, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we trust that the Lord Jesus Christ that is in us is more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Father, we trust in thy word, Father.
Amen.
Bless us, Father. Let us stand and anchor in thy word, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You bring your spirit down inside of us, Father.
Hallelujah.
That, Father, nobody will be able to be shaken by anything, Father.
Amen.
And we will be able to shine the light
Amen.
In the darkness, Father.
Yes, Lord.
That our neighbor, that the people that are in contact with us will see Jesus in us and they will be able to believe in thy word, Father.
Amen.
Make us to be the writing epistle
yes,
of
Lord.
Thy gospel.
Hallelujah.
Because Paul says we are the writing epistle of thy gospel, Father.
Amen.
Father, take every dust, everything, Father,
Amen.
That will not allow us to manifest thy glory, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, manifest yourself in our life, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, answer to our prayer, Father.
Amen.
If there's anybody that is sick tonight,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
We ask the healing in the name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Yes,
because
Lord.
You are Jehovah Rapha,
yes.
the Lord that heal all our diseases,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
And we know you say to the prophet, there's nothing that will stand before
Amen.
Thee. There's
yes,
no
Lord.
Cancer.
Hallelujah.
There's no any sickness that will
yes,
stand
Lord.
Before
yes,
thee, Father.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And we say the signs shall follow Amen. Those that believe in
Hallelujah.
My name.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we believe in thy name.
Amen.
And we know that the signs are obligatory to follow us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Manifest yourself in the power of the gospel, Father.
Amen.
That the people should know you in the power of the gospel.
Yes, Lord.
In the manifestation of the Holy Spirit,
Hallelujah.
Father. That each of us should have an experience that nothing will move us from thy presence.
Amen.
Father, bring in my faith and the faith of thy congregation together, Father.
Yes, Lord.
As we can see that your presence is here tonight, Father.
Amen.
We can feel it, Father. That the angel of the Lord is here, Father.
Hallelujah.
That
yes,
something
Lord.
Is happening tonight, Father.
Amen.
Do something in each of us here.
Yes, Lord.
We are
yes,
needy
Lord.
People.
Yes,
we are
Lord.
Depending on thee, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us, Father.
Hallelujah.
And bless each vote, everybody that is present here,
Please,
Father.
Lord.
Let something permanent happen to our soul,
Please,
Father.
Lord.
Let we say that from that day, something good happen, Father.
Amen, Lord.
Father, we ask you that you shall bless those who are away, Father,
Amen.
From us here in this place, Father.
Amen.
Bless them. Give them a safe journey, Father.
Amen.
And give them, grant them a return safe, Father.
Please, Lord.
When we meet here, we will give glory and honor unto thee.
Amen.
Bless our expecting sisters, Father.
Please, Lord.
Undertake on their behalf, Father.
Amen.
Quicken the delivery, Father.
Please, Lord.
And we will give
yes.
glory and honor unto thee.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you for all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Since let's keep the issue of looking for the new church building as well in prayer. Let's keep diligent. We've got about 6 weeks to go, I think, so may the Lord guide and lead us on that one. Let's finish, dismiss as we sing something, bro.
Proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Tune in His name, Jesus, the light of the world.
We'll walk in the light.
Wonderful light comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day
and by night.
Jesus, the light of the world. The light of the world, send the gospel to all. Jesus, the light of the world.
We walk in the light.
We walk in the light.
Beautiful light
comes where
yeah.